10 miles out of Vienna. And the city, it was a city with a school and church.
What country, Sister Sandra?
Oh, German Austria. German Austria, Vienna. So, I don't remember too much about that. I was small, my mother died when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I don't remember too much about that. I remember my brothers, and we lived there ever since my mother and father was buried. I mean, my mother and father was married, and until she died, and then we broke up the home. And my brothers all went out to work, the ones who were able. And my father put me in he called it a boarding house. And I was there, Brissett was my little village. It's only a little village. We went to school called Post Office Blutweiss. And there was a Catholic church there. We didn't know anything else but the Catholic church. Then I was there until my father, I think they took me when I was about 6 years old, and I was there until my father and my sister Teresa came and picked me up to bring me to this country. And I went to school there, and we had a school, one building with 2 rooms, and each teacher had 3 or 4 grades. The high grades was a high school. And we went barefoot to school. Am I getting ahead of myself? How long have been we with the fella? Anyhow.
You don't have to look at that anymore.
Okay. Well, anyway, and I went to school in that boarding house from there. I remember that real well. And then we had those long benches right on, and blackboards, of course. We got to have blackboards. Then anyways, in summertime, we had wooden shoes in winter. But they were like oxfords. The wood was on the bottom, and the top was leather. And the family I lived with, he made the wooden shoes, and I used to take them for families. And that's how he got the pin money. He was a carpenter. In summertime, we built houses. And then in summer, we went barefoot to school and barefoot to church. And we walked miles. We came home to eat in summertime, but not in winter. We took our lunch with us. So anyway, we had a nice group of children, and American people moved in next door to the school, and there was a girl there, she went to school there, and of course, you know how boys are, they teased her because she was a boy. And in the village where I lived in, we had a lot of nice neighbors. In the evening, in winter, summer, we had gardening. Everybody was busy then. And in winter, we went from house to house, and us kids, we went along wherever we went. They played, the men played cards, and the mother made donuts. We played cards, too. And the mother made donuts, and the kids and the husband made donuts and beer, and we had donuts and milk. And they played with matches. They never played with money. They helped one another to butcher, to garden, and things like that. No money was there. They just help one another instead of paying. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have paved street where I went to school. We just had rough street, dirt. And we had a big garden in the middle and a big water place where they used to cut out the ice in winter and put it in storage underground to keep the fish and keep the old things. And then in that village was a place where the landlord had a lot of, I don't know what you call them, whether you call them slaves or not. I don't think you call them slaves because they got well taken care of and they had children and they only lived in that place and they had a little chapel. And we used to go down there for May devotions, the rosary, and in the evening. But we were not allowed in after a certain time. We were never allowed in only to go to church. Only when they emptied their water, emptied their water, the firemen used to push up and down and emptied the water to get all the fish out, and they put that in storage in winter. And they gave that to their people to eat, you know. They were real good to their people. And but they went to school with us. And then and the priest came there on Sunday to say mass for them. From the other village. They say mass for them. And in winter they they had sheep, and they heard that landlord was pretty rich, I guess. He had all those people working for him. They had no windows on the outside. All their windows were inside. And they locked the gate at night. So the gypsies were great out there. And where I was boarding, we had a stone house. And we lived in one room. There was a bed in each corner. Mother, husband, and I was near the door. And when my father came to see me occasionally, he used to sleep with me. We had straw mattresses. We used to push them up. And we had feather ticking, no blankets. Everything was feather tickings for our cover. And I don't know about the sheets. I don't know. We had blankets. We had the sheets, but the feather ticking that the straw mattress was out of like potato sacks, you know, material like that. So we ate in that room, we recreated in that room, we slept in that room. We had another room, but that was a storage room. And we had a smokehouse and a summer house, like a summer room where they make things. And in winter, when it was Christmas time, he used to get a Christmas tree, because I still believed in Santa Claus, as big as I was. And it was decorated with chain, paper chain, different colors. And we didn't have candy. We had candy, but we couldn't buy candy. And they had dried fruit on it, dried fruit and cookies on the Christmas tree. It was pretty. And, oh, and I was real happy. Maybe I would get a wooden doll. And the doll, the arms would, because of leather, the leather was a nail here and a leather there. And the wooden doll was moving, you know, the hands and the feet and the head. And the lady dressed it up, the gold clothing material that you make dresses off. And I was proud of that. I didn't. So anyway, then in summertime, of course, we got out early to school, but we used to go out and pick berries. We never had strawberry planted. We used to go out in wild woods and get strawberries. And I remember I went to the mill to get the flour. We had to go another miles to a mill to pick up the flour, and they took in our oats and wheat, whatever we had, and they grind it for us. And if it was black flour, but if we wanted it white, they had to bleach it. And we thought that was great. We only got it for Christmas.
White.
White. And we thought for Christmas, white. We bread and the donuts and things like that they made at home. And of course, to make cookies and cake, that wasn't with us. We lived on bread. And we used to, in winter, we used to, for my, the man I lived with, used to cut the potatoes, slice the potatoes, and bake it on top of the stove. Flat on top of the stove, because it was a wooden stove. We used to heat the water and cook on top of it, but we had no pans to put the potato on. We just cooked it right on top of the stove. And like a potato chips, you know, we ate that. We kept us busy and nuts. We ate them in winter.
Wouldn't a wooden stove catch on fire?
Oh, no, it was well protected.
What with?
No, the wooden stove. It was an iron stove, but we burned wood.
Yes.
Wooden, that, I should explain that. It was an iron stove, but we had wood in it constantly, wood. But we had been to the woods and got the wood. So, we were warm, comfortable. And in winter, we did have high-top shoes as kids when we went to school. But when it was real bad, we had a sleigh with straw in and a horse, and the man drove it to school back and forth when it was real bad. But we didn't like it one bit because we wanted to get in the deep snow to have fun, you know. And we used to jump into it, you know. And we had a lot of fun being there. Oh, what a lot of snow. So, then my brother's name was my sister. My brother's name was Max, Eloise, John, and Fritz. Now my other sister in this country, her name was Bertha, but she was only a half sister to me. And my father's name was Frank Zotter, and my mother's name was Elizabeth Stiegel. And my father was a stone, he had to get stones and chip them and build houses.
Stone mason.
And for a gravestone or anything like that, stonemason. And then my mother, of course, was at home taking care of all the kids. And I remember my brothers real well. They had a bicycle, and they used to have marbles. And they played with the marbles outside, and we wanted to go and get them. And they used to give us a bicycle ride in a basket. But those days, when we owned a bicycle, we were wealthy. But then I went, when my mother died, we broke up the house. And I was in a poor place. But I remember the good place so well. But then my sister came, and my father came and picked me up. And I wasn't going to drive by. They took me, and then we had to go to school, get my report, and all the vaccine and everything that I had to have. And my father took me to his house, and he was married again. He was going to take his younger children home. But he had promised my sister Bertha in this America that she could give me a better home. She could have me. Now she was worried about me. And then he kept his promise. He didn't want to break it. So I came to this country, but I was so scared of the water. We were on a ship, and the ship, I was deathly sick all the time. I couldn't pass the kitchen. I had a hole. I'd always go in under the kitchen window, try to get to the dining room, but I still couldn't eat. And so the nurse took care of me. We had to go into the operating room. They had an operating room there. And then they had a bathroom, but the bathtub was a real bathtub. And she gave me a bath, washed my hair, everything, and she put me to bed, and I was allowed to get up and do what she told me to. So anyway, I was curious, and I rang the bell, and the man came right away, really excited why I was ringing the bell, and I didn't know, wondered, you know, I didn't know I was doing that, and they asked me what I wanted, so I asked fish. And I didn't want the fish no more than the moon. I ran and opened the window and threw it out the window. We had a round window. I threw it out the window. Well, anyway, I got my clothes back nice and clean, and I got dressed, and I went up on the deck again. And I was so curious over that deck, that whole boat. I went all over the boat. I went up to the first class. And some of the first class people had a little diner all by themselves, not going one door, not the other. And just a man and a woman would be sitting there, maybe their ownership, I don't know. I could realize that now. And then they would look at me, and they used to watch me a great deal, whether they want to adopt me or not, I don't know. But anyway, they watched me, but they never said anything to me. I guess maybe they didn't know my language either, they didn't know. But I'd rather go out and see, the third class was below us. I was the second class. And second class, because I was the only girl among the two men, my brother-in-law's brothers. I met them on the ship in Bremen. That's where we met, in Bremen. That's where we got on the ship. And the ship was late, 2 weeks late. And we had to wait there, and we went sightseeing, my sister and I. But anyway, I was so curious, everything. I went to the boiler room, opened the door of the boiler room. It was all silver down there, and the man was walking on the platform, extending everything. And I quick closed that door, it was so hot. And then I went down below. And I wanted the kids to play with or sing with. And we used to sit on the skylight, window light, you know, like a window. And we used to sit there and sing all the German songs. And they had hash. They didn't go to the table to third class. They had hash outside. They used to give them a big full of hash in a bucket. I used to wish I could go down there and eat there. I would feel better. I would enjoy that better than going to the dining room. Because I was so sick going to the dining room. There's no air there. And the boat would go this way and be screwed. And I would have far rather ate there than outside. Get a pot of hash, than a dish of hash, than going to the dining room.
How old were you?
I celebrated my 11th birthday on the ship. And we used to have a good time singing and had playmates. Then we got off in Baltimore. Well, Baltimore, we were locked up because a good many people were sick and the children were sick. And we weren't old enough. Now, the man who was with us, he was 21, he was about to go. But his other brother, he was 16 and I was 11. We were left there until my sister came and got me.
These are your brother-in-law's brothers?
Yeah. They came from another place, see. And so anyway, my sister came and we waited. And he had, the 16-year-old boy, Leo, he had extra money. Because we couldn't eat anything there. All we got was a can of salmon that were shipped up and down the can and rusty tin cans to drink coffee out of. And we couldn't eat that. And he had extra money. And the baker man used to go around and we used to get some sweet coffee. We used to buy it and we used to eat that, the two of us. So the men and the women were separated in different dormitories. And then when we waited for Kate to open each time, and then somebody was left. So finally, my name was called out. And of with you? And I said, yes. And so he looked on the paper again, and it was okay, and we both went out, and my sister hugged me and kissed me and embraced me. And then she took me into a store, and she dressed me from head to foot. I had white clothes on, beautiful dresses, and everything. And she pulled me out. She wanted me to go home looking the way I did, you know. So the lady back at the counter dressed me all up, and she prayed for it. And when we got on the train, she gave me a banana, and I was eating it with the skin on, so she filled it for me. I didn't know how to eat banana. Oh, and on the ship, we had ice cream. I thought it was poison. I couldn't eat cold ice cream.
You had never had ice cream?
No, not in the village where I was. I don't remember when I was small. But anyway, we had that. And then I thought to myself, oh, in the old country, we had nothing but stone houses or brick houses. And the only wooden houses we had were the stables. And I thought to myself, oh, they keep their stables pretty good. They had curtains on. And here I walked into one myself. So I realized people lived in it. Then I looked at the train, you know. So I walked in myself. So I walked in. I looked in. It was so beautiful. The curtains out. And there was a hammock outside on the porch, and I sat in that hammock, and I put the feet up, and I got sound asleep. I got sound asleep in my sister's house.
Where was her house?
Millvale in Pittsburgh. And she had two children, Betty, John, and Elizabeth. Betty, John, and Marie. And she was pregnant on the fourth one, and she was almost afraid to come to Baltimore to get us, but she was safe. But she always used to say she adopted me. But if she adopted me, my grandma would have come and signed the papers. But she never said that. She always used to say she adopted me, but she just raised me, see. She raised me.
How much older was she than you?
15 years old. Now her children was about, the oldest girl was about 7 years and I apart. She and I, we were like one family.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I went to school for 2 years.
Is that where you changed the name of the prison?
Yes, at my sister, told me to take my name, Herb McGregor, and because I went to school there, and of course she had to raise me until I was 21 anyhow, because the government would take care of us, unless someone was responsible for us. And he was 16 and I was 11. Mm-hmm. And I went 2 years to school to St. Anthony's Franciscan Sisters in Millvale, but no one bothered. There and learned a language by children reciting things and things like that. No one bothered with me. Then I went 3 years, and then my sister got sick. She had to have an operation of her good child. Her good child. She had to have an operation of cancer. And then I couldn't keep house because I was still young. And so my Aunt Veronica, that's my grandmother's sister, she came in later in the years. A couple of his sisters came in. He nearly had all his family over here except a few. And anyway, she came home and kept the house for them. And Mrs. Abel in Beachview, Sister Austin's sister, she was working for her. Veronica's my grandmother's sister. She was working for her, and she couldn't get anyone to wash dishes or help with the laundry and stay with the kids. She had a lot of children. And so she asked if I would do it. And she said, yes, anybody would stay here and not run out every night. So I went there, and then when The sisters. Or the sisters cook for them, but they had Sister Barbara at the time. So she didn't want me to come home. She wanted me to be with the sisters. And so she took me to the hospital, and the hospital took me in, and I slept there on the top floor. Some of the employees slept there, and I was on St. Joseph's Hospital. St. Joseph's Hospital was outside. And I was there 2 weeks, and they, I remember, they had windows going out, right? And they, no one would ever do it, and I did it, and I had to stand outside the chapel, the community room window outside, and clean window on the outside, and I was so scared the window would kill on me, and me go down the But anyway, they held my legs, but then I didn't fall. Everybody knelt down and prayed. Then they came in and saw me sitting outside. Sister, I could see Sister Stella. I could see a whole lot of the sisters. And I didn't know very much about nuns. And anyway, they all prayed, and I was there 2 weeks. And I enjoyed myself there because a lot of employees were there, and I didn't know them very much English.
How old were you then?
I must have been about 15. So I went to the hospital, and I was there 2 weeks, and they shipped me to Baden. I didn't know what was going on. They shipped me to Baden. And when I met Sunday evening, they had benediction. And I met the priest, Father Bryson, and I said to him, Que lo que hay es